So the things described of the natural, of Egypt and Pharaoh, what's being described is the sense of self we have acquired from the world, which we love above all else. And this is what's being exposed by means of truths. So in the last section, the falsities that are represented by the frogs, they kind of don't matter anymore. And then what you see here is what underlies that, which is the lice and the noisome fly starting to manifest. So what's manifesting is a description of what that sense of self we have come to rely on and believe in actually is. And until we see it for what it is, we won't let it go. So that's why you have this progressive unfolding of things. So these plagues, I know I say this every time, but I think we need constant reminding of it. These plagues are not something that come upon. They are the uncovering of what is there.
I mean, one of the things that stands here, right, is that which is damned, you have this constant kind of refrain there, the dust of the ground, which is the food of the serpent, which is sensual reasoning, and ultimately that kind of reasoning, the dust of the ground points back to the garden and the cursing of the serpent and how that has to be unpacked, because it's subtle, right? More subtle than anything else. So the damning of the dust of the ground is the recognition of the very things that are being spoken about here, like the recognition that this is the case, that this stuff can't be regenerated, and therefore we can't put our confidence in it, which is what we have been doing, you know, what we as sensual beings have become invested in. And of course, proprial responses is to try and incorporate that so that it can hang on to it rather than see it as damned in that sense. And damned meaning there is nothing of any spiritual value in it in itself. You know, it's obviously part of a process so far as providing resistance and material with which brings us to a place of having to call upon the word in order to organize things in a different way. You know, one of the things touched on in the reading is that idea that all churches prior to the Lord's coming are representative, and in the representative church is the idea of self-improvement through ritual and whatever form that takes, right? But one of the things, if you think about a representative, it's what stands in place of. So if you think about the Lord, what stands in place of the Lord within a representative church, if you like, or a mind that's caught up in representations as the real thing, not as representations, is proprium. It's the sense of self. The I sense represents or stands as a representation of the Lord. So when you talk about childhood and adolescence, that's what's developed, that sense of self-centeredness, so that there is this idea, a sensory idea, that there is something at the center of everything. It just doesn't happen to be us. But that's where it has to start. And of course, when we're looking to have that, which is the love of self and the love of the world, saved, because that's what that is about, then we fall into mistaking the representation for the thing in itself, and then we're trapped in the sensuous and all the affirmations that arise in order to reinforce the idea that I am. And in here, in one of the numbers, you know, like you have a progression through the text, and 7444 by I am Jehovah is signified that he only is the I am, thus that he only is God. And there was talk in there about how the Israelites, they worship the gods of Egypt, effectively. Like, if they were under pains of punishment, they stayed in line. But as soon as any pain of punishment seemed to slacken, they fell back into the worshipping of the gods of Egypt, which is the sensuous, which is worshipping self. That's essentially what it is, living for oneself or believing in oneself rather than believing in the word. And then with the coming of the Lord, or the opening of the spiritual sense of the word, that eye sense is exposed for what it is. And that's what's going on here in this story. It's the opening of the internal sense of the word which exposes the nature and quality of the natural, and thereby releasing us from the representative level, so that what is real, which is the word, you know, charity and faith, which elevates. So we move from that sense of that I being I am to the as of self, through which the Lord himself is recognized as the only self and the only life. So that is the genuine church or spiritual mind, as opposed to the false mind, if you like, the false sense of self, which exists as a god, which is represented by Pharaoh in this particular instance, at least. You know, Pharaoh can't be improved. And that's fairly clear through the representation in the story. You know, there's just a constant relenting, hardening, until it's fully exposed, and through that exposure is destroyed. So, you know, the serpent whispers from the dust, and that term whisper is just the same root, it's enchantment. You know, I kind of think of the original Jungle Book with the snake, I can't remember its name now, but it was all about the words like honey just softly coming off the lips, but leading to this sort of like mesmerization once you became fixated on to its eyes, and you got that sort of image of the spiraling eyes sort of thing happening. And that's what it's like. But the thing is that once it's exposed, then there's no power. And I think that's what's illustrated here. There's a process of unfolding and exposure of what is lower and how it operates. And then once that's seen, its power is broken. And I think that's illustrated in the fact that the magicians of Egypt couldn't replicate what was being manifest, because it's seen for what it is. And in NLP, we often use the phrase, the freeing is in the seeing. And that's a classic example of it right there.